Folks at home, welcome back to a brand new edition of Ike Live here on a glorious Sunday. We've got the one and only Trip Weldon with us tonight, and what a great show. It's amazing catching up with Trip and hearing some of the stories. Let me remind you, if you're watching over on Facebook, please like and share the feed, and you'll be entered in a chance to win the Ike Live gift bag. Load it with sponsor products. Also, we want to hear from you. Please hit us up on the IM. Riz is going to be pushing your comments through. And if you're watching on social media at Ike Live Show, we're also going to get a few of those through here in a second. I want to get Trip back on. And this is an amazing fact I want to throw before we get Trip back on. Listen to this, Brian the Carpenter.
Yes.
Are you ready for this? This was in your notes, and this is a great tidbit for everybody. In over 50 years of BASS history, right, from the beginning, there has only been three tournament directors.
From the dawn of time.
From the dawn of time. Not including the current tournament director. There's only been three. Harold Sharp, 1970 to 1986. Dewey Kendrick, 1986 to 02. And, of course, Trip Weldon, 02 to 21. So with that, I want to bring Trip back in. And we've got a really special thing here tonight. Tin Cup Whiskey, Brian DeCarpenter sent us this black label, which is – this is special stuff.
This is the Tin Cup 10-year.
This is the 10-year American whiskey. This is almost like stuff you don't drink. This is stuff you save. It becomes a collector item. You find it on eBay for $8,000.
It's that retirement drink.
But, Trip, we're all going to toast you tonight to an amazing career and changing the sport for the better, working for Bass all those years. Thank you, Trip. This is to you. Cheers.
Cheers,
Trip. You're here.
Thank you.
Wow, that's – wow. Wow.
Whoa.
Wow, wow. Wow, that's smooth.
Cheers again, Trip.
Cheers again. We're just going to keep cheersing you all night now. That's so good. Oh, my gosh. Wow, please get more of that. Tin Cup, if you're watching, smoke. Please send more.
Yeah, that's actually okay. It actually qualifies as a bourbon.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It's so good.
It's delightful.
Trip, I want to get right into this question because I had this one on my notes highlighted, and this is a good one. And remember, this is Ike Live Show. We don't have a lot of rules here, Trip. There's only one. And if you have to be honest, you have to tell the truth. That's the
polygraph.
Only one. Yeah, we'll give you a polygraph. Just to make sure. We're going to change it. We're going to turn it back on you.
Get him.
You have to be honest on this one. All the years working with Bass and being on that stage, who was the best MC you've ever worked with?
Oh, wow. Boy, you put me on the spot.
Yes.
I guess, they all were great, man. I mean, I love working with Fish, and Keith Allen was fantastic. But I worked longer with Mercer, I think, than anybody. Dave is great, I tell you. He's a tournament angler for Fish was as well. But Dave was great.
Yeah.
And he's a lot of fun to be around, man. He's a cool dude.
I look at the history, you know, of Bass and the MCs, and that relationship that you have with the MC on stage, that was always a big part of it for me. The relationship you had with Fish, with Mercer, you know, your interaction, your commentary, and that made the show, that made the weigh-in. Was that something you would rehearse with these guys, Trip? Like, did you set aside time with Fish and Mercer and say, all right, this is like Charlie Chaplin. This is how we're going to interact. Or was it just a natural progression?
Most of the 99.9% of the time, it was natural progression.
Yeah.
We would talk about backstage, when I come on today, let's talk about real briefly, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the weather. Let's talk about if there was a disqualification or whatever. I think it was the classic, maybe that you won that Fish said, hey, you know what would be really cool? When I introduce you, you don't come on stage. Of course, you guys, you didn't see this. He said, why don't you come up through the fish hole?
Wow.
There's a hole, and that's what I did.
Yeah.
You know, he introduces me, and, you know, he can't find me, and all of a sudden I crawl out of this hole out from under the scales. And that was Fish's idea.
Wow.
But most of the time it's ad-lib, you know, it's
stuff,
and it evolves during the weigh-in. You know, things happen, or somebody brings in a big catch, or they tell a story or whatever, and it's ad-lib.
Yeah. You've had some amazing experiences on that stage. You've got to hold some of the biggest bass, the heaviest five ever weighed in a bass event. The smallest five ever weighed in at a bass event. Which ones stick out? I know the Lake Toho, Dean Rojas, that's burned in my memory of you guys holding that giant string up. But what are some of the other ones, Tripp?
I was not at Toho.
You weren't at that one?
No. I was actually, I think Mark Davis had weighed in, what, like 39 pounds?
Yeah.
Right before Dean came in. And Sarah Cummins called me on the telephone. They're in the old bass trailer. And she said, you're not going to believe this. Mark Davis just weighed in like 39, whatever. And she said, wait a minute. They say Rojas has got more than what Mark had. I said, no way. And she said, yeah. I said, stick the phone out the window and let me listen to Ray call the weight. And Fish call the weight. And that's exactly what she did. She stuck the phone out the window. And I heard it live. I didn't have to go to the hotline to hear that. I told Luke Duncan and Dave Mercer this, that two of the coolest tournaments that I've been to were in the state of Pennsylvania. The Pittsburgh Classic was one of them, even though it only took 12 pounds to win, was one of the coolest classics.
I'd agree.
You know, the town was abuzz with bass fishing. Sid the Kid had just been drafted by the Penguins, and it was just a cool event. And then Philadelphia was off the charts.
Yeah, man, I
tell you what, Philadelphia was great. And I know Jerry McInnes was so excited about having that tournament. And and when you went in the crowd that final day, man, it was super cool. I've been asked that question, and there's nothing that compares to the classic stage.
Right.
Being on that classic stage is by far the best.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you mentioned the Philadelphia one, and I know in my career, Trip, that one was a special one, and the energy there, man, I've only felt it a few times in my career.
Make the hair stand up.
It was amazing. I was in a million years, I would have never have thought that a major pro event would have come to that fishery. And I'm so glad it happened. I'm glad you were there. I'm glad Mercer was there. I'm glad Jerry decided to have it.
Brian the Carpenter was there.
I'm so glad that happened. And if I never fish another tournament in the rest of my life, that's the one at the top for me. You know,
it was such a cool venue too.
Yeah.
You know, being right there in Philly and in that amphitheater and all those people packed in there and the energy level, like you talk about, was, man, it was off the charts. It was so cool.
Crazy energy. The classics too. And you mentioned that, but the interesting thing at the classic is, I would always get the chills every time I'd come into classic. My first one to my last one. And then even like last year's classic that Hank won, I was there working the booths and watching it, and I still got the chills at the classic. There's something special about that event. All right, we've got a special guest joining us. Tripp, you just mentioned him, and he's here with us on the Zoom machine. Dave Mercer!
Yes!
Joining us on Ike Live tonight. Dave!
Welcome.
Very good. Very good. Well, I'm doing good. I miss you, Trip. I mean, I'll be honest. It's not the freaking same without Trip. I mean, we're the exact opposite. He can say everything without saying anything, and I say nothing while saying everything.
All right. First of all, Dave, first question. I can't believe. Where are you? Are you at the Pickwick event?
I am. I literally left a dinner that Trip, and you'll understand this, Bruce Aiken is paying tonight, and I freaking left that dinner, which is a rarity, ladies and gentlemen. Trip, that shows you how much I love you.
Wow. Well, hey, Mike, just so you know, when they have those dinners at Top Chef stuff you have on the coffee table in front of you, they get into a little bit of that. So I bet it did pain Dave to have to leave that.
No, we don't. All right. They do have to-go cups, it turns out.
All right, Dave, first of all, I'm glad they let you out of Canada. Thank God for that. Second of all, right before you came on, I talked about the dynamic that you guys had all those years. And, you know, it was a big part of it for me was that weigh-in, bringing fish up, whether it was a good day or a bad day. You guys had this dynamic that was unbelievable, right? Trip, stone cold, just business, facts, and Dave Mercer, jokes, prying, you know, like getting stuff out. Give us a couple. What were some of the best moments you've shared the stage with Trip?
I mean, it's limitless, really. Before we did this, I was like literally working out. I mean, me and Trip have spent just in weigh-in days, you know, literally over a year of our life together on stage. So you experience all sorts of things. And the amazing thing with Trip is, you know, there's the job thing, but it's your job. And you, when you spend that amount of time with each other, it's just like being roommates on the road. I mean, you're going to see things and hear things and experience things that you probably didn't want to. Yeah. I'll tell you the thing about Trip that nobody would ever understand that amazes me. And it's a side of Trip that I consider myself very lucky to have seen is Trip is, like I said, he can say everything without, you know, he's one of those people that like, literally that's one of the biggest things I miss about him. And I think our entire team will always miss is you know, and you know what I mean, you, Trip can look at you and number one, make you shrivel. He could also look at you and let you know, hey, man, we're good. Yeah. You're good. We're all good. But Trip is a wonderful mother, too. You would never imagine that about him. And I'll tell you, at a Bassmaster Classic, several times during our, you know, over a year together on the stage, I mean, I got sick or different things. You know what I mean? He's been under the weather. I've been under the weather. But at one particular classic, three anglers in, I got a food poisoning or something. Like, I mean, I was fine. I get on stage and three anglers in, I'm like, oh, I didn't know. But all of a sudden, like, there is food poisoning. It's horrible no matter where you are. But when you're in an arena surrounded by people, it's not good. And it's so I'm up there and I'm like, well, I only have, 48 more anglers left to go. Maybe I can tough it out. And, I mean, I don't need an excuse to sweat. So, I mean, but I guess I started sweating a little more and Trip started noticing. And then he's like, he noticed I was getting a little paler than even my tasty Canadian butt normally is. And in Trip fashion, I think he said to me, are you feeling poorly? I told him, and I said, yeah, I'm in Trip. I'm not good. and by this point, you know, Mike is in my ear. They can talk to me, but I can't talk to them other than, you know, like nodding. And sometimes you can answer a question, you know, through the microphone, just, without anyone knowing, just through something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so they get word that I'm sick. But before they ever got word, Tripp got word to them. But I mean, Tripp was bringing up buckets of ice and like all these rags with ice. And I'm going to tell you, I went from feeling so alone and like literally thinking, man, I am going to either crap my pants, puke both at the same time, or pass out on the Bassmaster Classic stage. And you're just like,
oh, yeah,
so this is what I become, the guy who died on this classic stage. And Tripp, you know, mother henned me the whole way through it. And here's how it ends. And it ends very well with one of your good friends, Ike. I don't know if you've heard this story, but the picture of it survived for a long time. But so we get in anyways, Mike McInnes and everybody in my ear knows that Mercer's sick. And somehow we need to get him off the stage and give him a few minutes, like, because I mean, you're sick. I mean, Bass will give you a couple of minutes, but don't take four. so they say, we're going to have a dance off for 2 minutes. So anyways, they're like, in five anglers, you're going to get a dance off. But it's like when you're going home and you need to go to the bathroom. Yeah. I mean, the closer you get, the harder it is. So I'm like, last angler. And I remember looking at Tripp and thinking, oh, good God. The last angler before I'm supposed to get off is John Cruise, right? So he weighs in and it's all disco balls and happiness. So it's all done. I mean, I say, okay, well, I'm here for John Cruise. And all I'm thinking is I need to get out of there. Well, right as soon as I'm leaving, you might remember this picture because it was on his Facebook for a long time. Cruise goes, wait. Before I leave the stage, we need to do a selfie together. So me and Cruise go to the end of the stage and do this like pose thing. And I'm like white as a ghost. And then when that was done, I ran off the stage, ran to the back bathroom. Tripp made sure the path was freaking clear. That's the kind of guy he is. He knew I was feeling poorly, so he took care of me. I run to the bathroom. For those of you know that have been around Bass, you'll know that we have a media guy that works the classic named Chauncey. He was coming out of the bathroom, so that made my whole puke and rally a lot easier. 2 minutes later, I wiped it off, took a breath mint, got back to work. You did the second half of the way in. But if it wasn't for Tripp, there is no way I would have made it through that.
Oh,
so
man. What a story. Wow. What a story. Now you guys have been through a lot, through ups, through downs, through amazing moments, through shitty moments. But I gotta ask both of you, and this is a question for Tripp and Dave. This is a joint question. And remember, it's Ike Live. You got to answer it honestly, right? You can't lie. How painful has it been for the last trip with you, you know, 30 years, Dave, with you the last 10 or so years? How painful is it to hear another angler get on stage and say, I'd like to thank my Mercury for running me down the lake. I'd like to thank my Strike King crankbait. How painful is that, guys? Be honest. Tripp,
very
let's start
painful.
With you.
It's start painful. With me or start with Dave?
No, let's start with you, Tripp. It's painful, right?
It's very painful. And we didn't, hey, listen, Dave and I didn't have to say one word to each other. We just give each other that look because we know how painful it is. But to his credit, he could work through it and make light of it. But man, it was very painful.
Dave? Dave, take
it. I mean, I don't know about the Mercury's, but I'll tell you, my Yamaha does not burn any gas.
Oh, my God.
Somehow I think I just got myself in trouble. But anyway, I mean, that is painful to listen to, but people are trying to pay bills, and I can tell you, you're no freaking different. You did the same crap, okay? You're about board made gasoline, okay? Honestly, is one of the things that it drives me crazy, because sometimes I can tell like who's backstage, you know what I mean? If somebody comes up and they're like, everybody all of a sudden is promoting this. I'm like, well, so-and-so's back there talking to them before. So, but I get it. People got bills to pay, I guess.
The worst is when they get about halfway through and then they forget and they...
Looking at the shirt that's down there.
That's when the pain really ratchets.
They need a cheat sheet.
Trip, they try to blame us. Like all of a sudden you'll get the, well, Trip, well, Dave, you know, am I forgetting anybody? Well, but yeah, whoever you didn't, like, it's not our job. I can't hardly remember my crap.
As a guy who many times has credited my boat and motor for driving me up and down the lake on stage, what do you recommend? What's the answer? What should a guy coming across that stage be prepared to do and say to entertain and inspire or educate? What do you like? What do you want to see guys do?
I like seeing the
Trip.
Some of the anglers are very savvy in mentioning their sponsor in a sentence, talking about their day. I'm cool with that, and I get it. I mean, I know the sponsors are panning on you. Got to mention me on stage. You got to mention me on stage, and I get that part. So. I like seeing those guys that are professional and savvy about the way they mention their sponsors. That's what I like.
Yeah. Dave, chime in on
that. My advice has always been the same, and be real. Like, honestly, not everybody's Mike Iaconelli. Not everybody's Gerald Swindle. Not everybody's Takahiro Amori. I mean, there's some amazing, like, you look at people, like, I look at somebody like Talk, and I'm like, that dude was a genius at using any disadvantages he has. And Marizo, another guy who literally, like, I mean, people loved Marizo when he weighed in. Like, so people will use things and say, well, I'm not good at public speaking. I use examples like that, you know, be real, be yourself. Yeah. Another prime example. And Ike, you are the freaking mold breaker of this. And you know it. I mean, you were a little geek for 10 years in your career.
That's true.
Told me to be honest, right?
That's true. I admit that. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you were about to quit and you won a big event. You were like, holy crap. But you still didn't really care, but you had lots of money. So you were like, I'm going to be myself. And then guess what happened? Mike Iaconelli became what we all love as Mike Iaconelli, and what all you guys, and I mean you guys by his friends, always loved about Iaconelli, the real Iaconelli. You probably all drove you guys crazy when you saw Ike being what the industry probably, or what I, or what all of us think the industry wants us to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
Seth Fyder's
another example of that.
Right? You had your shirt tucked in that few years?
I tucked my shirt in. I had my shirt tucked.
Remember the vest?
Yeah.
Remember that vest?
I mean, absolutely. Yes, I did.
Oh, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. You must have hit. No wonder you were miserable back then.
It was a tight vest, and the patches itched. You know, the patches itched. They itched my boobs. All right, another question for both you guys. And again, this is – you got to be honest, okay? I love this couple because he's an amazing fisherman, and she's a supportive wife and – you know, a family that travels together. Trip, you know, you've been there for watching Vegas grow up, and, you know, you've been there helping Becky a lot when she needed help. So you know how important families are. But how hard is it to hear Jennifer Lowen scream every time Bill Lowen wins? Be honest. Trip, let's start with you.
I just turn around and face the other way.
Dave, you heard it today, so let's get an update.
I hear it every day, and honestly, I mean, I like you said, I love them.
I love them too.
It's loud. and I mean, Jennifer knows. I mean, I think I've made enough jokes at the Night of Champions that have probably got me in trouble over the years. But I will say, we're supposed to be honest, right? Here's the best part about that, guys. And Tripp will never tell you this because he's way too much of a gentleman. But the best part about that is if you watch some of the wives that are generally sitting in the crowd, like they know the beginning. I mean, they hear the same crap every day. So when they hear from Brookville, you see wives all of a sudden, they prepare for the moment. I mean, hey, and you're cheering, right? It's a passion.
Yeah, I love Jennifer and Bill. And, you know, the thing is, you know it's coming. So,
yeah.
It's, you're not blindsided by it. You're prepared for it. So
yeah, no, I love those. I love those guys, and I'm glad she does it. But I remember, I think it was like his first or second year on tour when all this started. The first like 3, 4, 5 times it happened, I honestly thought somebody was getting stabbed or shot or hurt. Like I remember like just jumping like in the weigh-in line, like oh God, what just happened? All right, here it goes, guys. You ready? I've got a top 5 list. I need both of you to answer it. It's Ike Live. You got to be honest. Starting with Tripp.
Wait a second. Do you have a lot of unhonest guests? Like no, every question, you're like, what, have we not proved we're being honest?
Okay,
here?
You have. You have. And here they go. The happiest guy that you've weighed in over the years. Tripp, the happiest guy.
The happiest guy.
The happiest guy.
Can't wait for
you're
the
talking
question.
Dave,
30
jump
years
in.
Of
Dave,
man.
Dave, jump in if you can think of one. The happiest
I got
guy.
One right off the top of my head right away, and it's a guy I deal with every day now, Jeff Gustafson.
Yeah.
I mean,
Gussie. Yes. Yeah.
He is, I mean, those other two Canadians, I'll tell you about them. They're just dicks. Let's be honest.
Yes.
They're so talented, and they're just put on earth to take titles from good, hardworking people like Bill Wallen. You know, it's horrible. But Gussie he's just a regular dude, and it's amazing. Like the amount of I was never prouder, honestly, of those. You know, obviously those three guys I've known since they were all little kids. But I was never prouder after Gussie, you know, won this last one. Yeah. And the amount of media that told me, like, the beginning of this tournament, they're like, Gussie called me. You know, photographers and people like that. That he's just a special dude. So, yeah, he loves every moment of it. And even when he sucked on day one this week, he smiled.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Yeah, some guys, you know, you've got those guys that probably never really had think they're going to win an event, and they win it, and it's life-changing for them. And then there are other guys, it's a relief to some of them to finally win an event.
Yeah.
They've been at it so long. So I don't know. There have been a lot of moments and a lot of happy anger, especially on that classic stage.
Yeah, it's a life-changer. All right, you might have already answered it, Dave, on the next one. The most pissed off anglers you've weighed in over the years. Most pissed off. Are you pointing?
I'm not pointing at Tripp in case you're asking.
Hold on now. It's highs and lows, though. You've gotten them on both ends of the spectrum, sure.
Tripp, I'll let you answer first.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Thanks a lot.
Tripp, the most
I don't personal. Know. You can feel the body language sometimes. Let's just leave it like that. on stage, when they've had a bad day, you can feel it. So, hey,
is anybody a close second?
No.
No. All right. I get that one. I'll take that one. I'll take it.
But I'm talking about on stage. Like, I will say that one thing about Ike is, and I'm very much that way myself, you know, and where people don't ever guess, you know what I mean? Like if I'm upset about something and Ike's that way. but I will say, you know, like when you get away from that moment, you're also one of the coolest dudes ever to even talk about the tough moments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you I think you're delusional a lot. Don't get me wrong. I mean, let me tell you the best Iconelli story ever. And I don't even know if you remember this.
Oh,
and Tripp, I've told you this because we laughed about it. But it was happened at a – you said be honest. It happened at – look how honest I am. I wore glasses for this interview. I look studious.
Yeah.
The few days before the classic, we do a bunch of interviews and Ike obviously knows, he goes through the whole thing, but you go into an interview room and there's a bunch of cameras and lights and that's where you do the, you know, how much this would mean to me interviews, the emotional interviews. And so some years we have more time, some years we have less time, but I remember one year we had a long time and we talked to Ike about a bunch of things and Ike did an interview and he talked to me about how he thought it was normal. He said, you know, it's good to exhale the bat.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, if you smash something, you know, you smash something and you move on. Then you move on and it's gone. Right.
Right.
So I don't know if you remember this, Ike, and it never was part of the interview, but I said, I said, you just had a little baby boy, beautiful baby boy, Vegas, just a year or two ago at the time.
Yeah.
I said, let's say a couple of years from now, Miss Pac-Man eats him and the video game goes bad. If he just kicks the shit out of his door, is that okay, Iconelli? I remember Ike saying, well, I mean, you got to get rid of – I don't know what his excuse was, but
– Let me just tell you, thank God Vegas got Becky's jeans on that one. Because that dude – I've boat captain now for him for 2 years in the junior federation – in the junior nation. That dude has Becky's anger management. Like he doesn't get frazzled.
How about the other one?
Stella gets frazzled. Stella has mine. Stella's pissed off. Vegas is Becky. Thank God.
And your dog took after the Grand Lake dog.
The dog? My dog took after. I know. He stole my damn socks earlier in the show. And just to mention on that one, the most pissed off. I want to tell you, though, every time I came on stage, there were a lot of times I wasn't happy. But I would always, Dave and Tripp, I'd always weigh my fish. I'd always get up there and at least say something. I'd say a word or two.
Probably.
My first year at MLF, I was so pissed off in one of the tournaments. I got up on stage and didn't say a word. I just stayed quiet. So just thought.
They had a stage?
They had a stage. The first year they had a stage. I was so mad I didn't even say anything. All right.
Nobody saw it.
It didn't matter. All right. Number three. I got two more. Most awkward on stage over the years.
Yes.
Most awkward. Tripp, give me one. There's been a lot. There's been a lot over the years. Come on. Just give me one. It's okay.
Oh, man.
There have been a lot smiling. Of awkward moments. Give us one. Most awkward.
You can't do this to Tripp.
Yes, yes.
I mean, he is a icon of our sport. He's a pillar. And you're putting, like, this is like, throwing kryptonite in front of freaking Superman. You can't do that. But me, on the other hand, I mean, I have no standards. So I will save my partner in crime, Tripp, and I'll give you one. I love this dude. Doesn't fish the Elite Series anymore. Everybody that fish the Elite Series loves him. But Billy McKechnie, I'm going to tell you, he was one.
Yeah.
And it wasn't what he said. It was he had a awkward pause. And it was just a little too long, and I never could get it. So he would, at the time, he would promote a redneck remedy. You remember it? I mean, Kevin Short would promote a few different people promoted it. So I remember Billy McKechnie would always weigh in, and he would finish his whatever he talked about, and he'd say, "I'd like to thank Redneck Remedy." And right about this point, I'd go, "Well, thank you." And he'd go, "It's a skincare ointment."
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's so good, though. Like, it's so good. Those awkward moments are so good, you know?
Oh, and Dave LaFibre is friggin' bizarro, though. I mean, oh, I got off on that awkward.
Salute.
And Ish. Oh, yeah, Ish. I went the Ish.
Go ahead.
Those three names are on the message. Well, it's Ike, LaFibre, not for awkward, for pissed off. It's Ike, LaFibre, and Ish Monroe, top three coming through.
Wow. Awkward and pissed off, a double. All right, I got two more. I'll keep going. The worst English that you've had over the years. Trip, this is an easy one. A lot of Japanese anglers have graced the stage of BASS over the years, some with better English than others. Worst English over the years.
Good day, mate.
G'day, mate. No, I've been fortunate in my life. I had a mother who lived on me for proper grammar. So sometimes I cringe at the grammar I hear on stage. You never end a sentence with a preposition, you know, like where are you at? There's no where are you? So I don't know. And I tried to convey that to the anglers, with their presentation on their presence on stage,
yeah.
So they impress their sponsors, not only the fishing public, but their sponsors. So I don't know. I've heard some pretty bad grammar moments, I guess, through the years.
So it's not where my bitch is at. Where are my bitches?
Right. Right.
The Brown Starfish nominated Cajun Baby for the
Cliff Crochet as worst English. Dave, you want to jump in on worst English? Worst grammar?
I got nothing for that. I mean, okay. Cajun Baby, I mean, you can hardly understand him on a good day. But, yeah. I mean, that's part of – I've always said that I wanted to have him as a guest on Facts of Fishing, and we never worked it out because, actually, he was supposed to come on a show, True Story, and this has been backed up because he has like 47 children.
he does.
But
that's
this is a true story. He was supposed to shoot a show and it was all set. But he would have had to stay a couple of days after Waddington and he wanted to go home and make what he made, his beautiful family,
make
I
more
guess.
Babies.
So he didn't make it on that show. But I always wanted to have him on the show. And I said, if you come on the show, I'm putting sub captions for everything you say.
Oh, God.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. All right, last one. This one's the easiest out of all five. Most long-winded that you've ever dealt with over the years.
Ooh.
Most long-winded that you've dealt with. Hmm. Trip, you got one? Dave, what do you got?
I'll let Dave answer that one. He's the guy with mic in his hand.
One of the most amazing things in fishing happened today, guys.
Ooh.
And I'm going to talk about this guy. And Aaron Martin's competed again today. And that is awesome.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
Woo!
Let's go, Aaron.
Let's
keep
go.
Fighting, baby.
Dude, that dude can freaking talk.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I mean, that's what I love about Aaron. Like, if you put a mic in front of him, he just doesn't stop. Like, yeah. I've tested it. As long as you leave the mic, he's just like, he just, well, bro, okay, sure, you want to keep talking? Like, he just doesn't, he won't stop. And I guess I realized the most, I realized it when Leslie once said to me, she said, would you stop doing that thing with Aaron? And I'm like, what thing? Like, I'm like, oh, here's another angler wife yelling at me for not doing my job. Which Becky never did. Just seeing it. Not that. But and I love Aaron and Leslie, obviously. All of these are jokes. But I guess when I would go ahead.
Aaron is long-winded, but it's beautiful long-winded. Like he works. Yeah. He's worked for us at Bass University, Pete. You know. And we set up the seminar topics and we're like, okay, Aaron, you're going to talk about the fish head spin on your first seminar. And 2 hours later, he's talked about fish head spin, spinner bait, jig, crankbait, tying a leader, knots, how to trailer a boat, what shoes to wear. And it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful random talk.
Oh my God, I know what you mean. His teasers are so hard to cut.
And I say this in a loving way. This is not making fun of him. It's beautiful. I love it, you know?
Oh, that's great.
Let me tell you my latest Aaron Martin story, and this is a side people probably don't see, but he's reaching out to me the whole time I'm going through chemo treatments with all that he's dealing with.
Yeah.
And that was pretty special to me. It meant a lot.
Yeah.
And we're texting back and forth. He thought I was taking my treatments in Birmingham. He said, "Hey, what day do you take your treatments? We can hang out together, you know, when I'm taking mine, and we'll visit old times and so, you know, my treatments were in Montgomery, but that's the side of Aaron that he's a special
that's awesome.
Dude.
So that's
good.
Awesome. We love
so
him.
Good to see him out there competing.
Yeah, yeah. That's so cool to hear that. I gotta change the momentum of this a little bit, and this is a great segue talking about Aaron. And this is a rare opportunity for me to have both you guys on Ike Live Show at one time. And I wanna talk about this. How hard was it? And let me preface it by saying it was hard for me. How hard was it during the era when MLF was created and guys left Bass? And in keeping context that there was a bigger reason why guys were leaving, right? How hard was it for you guys during that time? Because, again, let me say, for me, it was the hardest time of my entire career. It was a decision that I felt like I had to make that I didn't want to make. That's the best way to describe it, right? I felt like I had to do it, but I didn't want to. How hard was it for you guys when all that was going down? Tripp, let's start with you.
It was tough. It was the classic in Knoxville was tough, knowing that some of those guys would never come across that stage again. To be honest with you, I will tell you there were probably some anglers that needed to move on. And I've said that publicly. I don't hide from that fact. But it was tough. These are guys I've been around, you know, half of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been with Bass 30 years, and for 28 of those years, I was around a bunch of those guys. And, you know, you're not just a tournament director and an angler. You become friends. You see the kids grow up.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
some of it was tough. You know, I'd be foolish to sit here and say it wasn't tough.
Yeah. Dave, do you want to jump in on this? Because it you know, I think for me, I can tell you, I'll give you an exact time when it really hit me, was when I was at the Classic that Hank won last year. It really hit me there, because I got to see you guys. You guys were working. You guys were hustling. And I had to watch this event that I competed in my whole life. Mm. And it hurt. It hurt me. And I missed you guys. I missed you. Tripp, you hit it right on the head. It's like family, right? You miss the people that you have been around since I was a kid. I was in my fucking 20s when I started at Bass. I missed you guys. I felt that. It was hard. Dave, jump in. How hard was it when all this went down?
I agree. I mean, I've always said it was really hard. I mean, it, and it'll never be the same. To be honest, it'll be totally different, but I think it's okay to say it'll never be the same, because we all experienced, so many of us and for so many years, we all experienced so many different things together that can never even be repeated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that, even as simple as that Philadelphia moment. I mean, that is something that is going to bond all of us forever, but it can't ever be repeated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's tough. I mean, we were a group of people that I never expected to not work with you, to not work with Kevin, to not work with Ott, to not work with the list goes on and on. I mean, these were people that I expected to spend the rest of my career with. So yeah, it was tough. I mean, it and I think it'll always be tough, but I just, it's just a kind of a crappy deal that everybody, you know, like outside of all the bull crap and jokes and Boyd impersonations that I do on a weekly basis, these are people I love and people who are friends. And I've always said from the start, I almost haven't judged people as much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On their reactions and how they dealt with it. Because if you get one wrong text, you get one wrong phone call. All of us, we know that nobody's going to ask what league you're fishing or where you're at. So yeah, to put it in perspective, it's very tough, but I also have not, I've tried to not overthink it too much too, but it sucks to go through, I think, for all of us. But yeah. I mean, thankfully, I think it sucks for some others a little more.
Well, here's the good
news. I'm biased, sorry.
Yeah. Here's the good news. And Pete, I want to have you chime in on this. Here's the good news. I think Bass is doing amazing, you know, on in its own right. You know, they went on and Bass is doing great. There are new guys. There are more opportunities for new guys through Bass. I think MLF is doing great, right? And there are guys there that are excelling. So I think the sport is okay. Would you agree with that, Pete? You know, now we're 3 years, 4 years into it now. Would you agree with that?
The sport being okay?
Yeah.
After the fracture? Yeah, I mean, I get – we didn't – you know what was interesting? When this split happened, we were watching the MLF stuff and then the Bassmaster stuff. We're like – you know, none of us really knew which way it was going to go. Like, are the fans going to, you know, where are they going to go? So it was, I would watch both tournaments and try to, you know, try to figure out what was going on. And I'm like, man, I loved watching those MLF guys fish. And then Dave and the Bassmaster crew would get out there and I'd be like, oh no, Bass's, that's the best thing to watch, you know, and you just flip back and forth, but it's the sport's expanded. There's more people in it. I don't know how this is all going to shake out, but I got to say, you guys, you know, are doing fantastic. It seems like Bassmasters is really thriving right now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you guys agree?
I would. I truly am like just a fan of all this. I mean, you know, I mean, Brian and myself, I guess we would be the most kind of out of the circle as far as this goes. Like, you know, we're not Bass Pros. We never have been. And I, like you said, Pete, I enjoy watching all of it, but I guess it's something about that. When I started watching fishing and started, you know, following it, it was Bassmaster. That's all I had.
Right.
You know, so there's something about, like you said, the music and the blue and gold, the emblem. It's just
The five fish limit.
When I think fishing,
yeah,
I still think Bassmaster.
Yeah. Yep. That's embedded in who you are. Let me remind everybody, we have an amazing show tonight. We have two iconic people of the sport on right now. I can't say it enough. Trip Weld and Dave Mercer on with us. If you have a question or comment, please let us know. Riz, let's patch a couple through. I know we're way behind on getting some comments through.
Yeah, it's been an action packed night on the message board. It's really been a fun show too. But the first one is Dave, the Wawa Hoagie lady wants to know why you never answer her FaceTimes anymore. And by the way, she is from New Jersey.
And she's probably a he, so you're not in any trouble.
She might be a he. Yeah.
She may have been a camera boat for you.
Oh,
a Wawa Hoagie lady? I don't know about the Wawa Hoagie lady, but hey, I'm welcome to accept FaceTimes from any pseudo ladies. The road's a lonely place.
Just tell her you have a flip phone.
I mean, I answered this one.
Yeah, you did. And Jacob Turner wants to know who was between Mark Davis and Todd Faircloth, who was the slower of the talkers?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Trip.
All right, that's a tight race.
That's a tight race, but I'm going to give it to Mark Davis just because I do a little segment pre-COVID. I used to do a segment on bass called 6 Seconds, and now I'm not allowed to be anywhere near anglers. So hopefully we'll get back to doing that. But I do a segment called 6 Seconds where you get 6 seconds to answer. And every single time I ever interviewed Mark Davis, he would start off by saying, "I'm from Arkansas, so I get longer."
I checked, I'm looking here, and I've got one from Instagram, and this one's Ed Sekula chiming through. And this is a question for both you guys. And Ed wants to know, who were your favorite coworkers at Bass over the years? Trip, let me start with you. I know there's been a lot of coworkers you've worked with that are awesome. Favorite coworkers at Bass?
Well, I've said this, that one of my proudest deals was the longevity of our staff. I mean, we have everybody on the Bass staff is getting close to 20 years or more. So Chris Bowes, Gretchen Shepherd, Chuck was there over 20 years. But if I had to pick one favorite guy, it's the guy I kept his picture up on my bulletin board after he passed away, and that was James Pooley Dawson.
Yes.
He's Pooley. One of the coolest.
Right around.
Pooley's we one of the coolest guys.
Right? We love Pooley.
Same time.
He was like a father.
The Philly event that he passed.
He was like a father figure to a whole bunch of us at Bass. Wow.
He was, Pooley was awesome. And I want to tell you my story real quick. I fished a invitational at Okeechobee. Pete, you fished the same one. And I want to say it was like late 90s, 97 or 98. And I caught a bass in that tournament that regurgitated a snake. This isn't a joke. He actually regurgitated a snake in my live well. And I looked at it floating in there. You're not allowed to like stuff back, you know, forage or anything. You know, once it regurgitated, it's out. But I took that snake and I put it in my weigh-in bag, and I went up and I dumped it in the fish dump station. And when that snake came back, I've never seen him jump as far. Snake came out. I'll never forget that story. That was awesome.
What kind of snake was it?
It was like a water snake. I don't remember. But it was a snake. It was not as good a snake. Dave, same question. Favorite coworkers over the years at Bass?
It's an impossible question to answer. You know what I mean? Like, really, I mean, Trip, honestly, he's one of the people that it's weird. It's one of those things people say, oh, you don't realize until somebody's gone. But just the Trip's just Trip. I mean, he's Bass. You know what I mean? He's just such a pillar. But I mean, if it wasn't for Mark Zona, I wouldn't have freaking had the job. I mean, Kevin and Mark were the guys who really went to bat for me. But I got to say, the guy who I've spent the most time with and probably I've eaten the most meals with is James Overstreet. I mean, Street is... Street's my guy.
Takes a pretty good picture, too.
Yeah, not so bad. And the crazy thing about Street and Trip saw it is, I mean, he is uber talented. Like, there's a lot of photographers, but the difference is, and I watch photographers on a weekly basis get frustrated by Street because he just is like we spent. Not only have, I mean, for years it was me and him every day on the boat together, you know, covering the events. So. But we would be literally just blasting down the lake, and we hated camera boat drivers, so we'd drag Street's boat to every event, right? And we'd do this, and we'd be blasting along, and he'd be like, "Hey, fool, pass me the camera." So, and I'd pass him wrong lens. Give me big lens, fool. So I'd pass it to him, and he'd go, hit something, and then you'd look in the gallery, and there would be a freaking eagle You know what I mean? Like the most majestic. And we didn't even come off plane. You know what I mean? You see the photographer set everything up and everything. And he is just a naturally uber talented, awesome individual. Like, I mean, a great dude and honestly going to be one of my best friends till the day I die. You know what I mean? Like he's not a fishing friend. He's a friend, man. Yeah. And to all of us.
J.O.'s a good dude.
He's like Danny Brower to content guys. Like he's like good... the photographers, they see him and it's like they get like all kicked out.
Iconic. Yeah. Legend.
Yeah.
I'd agree. J.O.'s a good dude. Why you were talking, Dave, Becky came up. I guess the kids are in bed. And this is a great segue. I want to revisit the family aspect. Beck, these two guys, Tripp and Dave, have been through a lot with us over the years. We've our relationship started with bass, and it continued. We've had kids. We've learned how to back up trailers. We've put a boat in the woods. We had an umbrella through Vegas' lip. All through these guys right here.
I know. Am I on?
Yes, you're on.
Oh, I can't hear my phone.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I think Tripp and Chuck probably disciplined my children more than I did when they were little. Because I was so exhausted living in campgrounds with those two little gremlins.
Yeah.
And we'd get to the boatyard, and they'd be like, Vegas, Stella. And I'm like, oh, thank God someone yelled at them. I think Tripp and Chuck yelled at them the most.
Yeah.
No, I joke. They didn't really yell at them. They saw them all running amok, climbing on boats. And we had a lot of little kids running through those boatyards.
Yeah. Well, when stuff would happen to me in tournaments, there would be two phone calls. The first one would usually be to Becky. You know, if something, it was an emergency or something happened, I would call you. The second call would go to Tripp. And then the one I remember that sticks out in my mind is the year that I put the boat in the woods at the Sabine. Mm-hmm. And I called Becky first to say I was okay. You know, in the age of social media and people posting stuff like that, I knew it was going to get out there. So I called you. And then I called you, Tripp, second. And I don't remember exactly what I said, but it was something to the extent of, I'm in the woods right now. My boat is in the woods. I am okay. My Marshall is okay, but we are in the woods. I think that's how I said it. Something like
I remember that phone call.
Yeah, that was a strange call. Yeah.
That was a strange call.
Yeah. I've never been in the woods before with a boat, so it was strange. But Becky, over the years, I mean, this was like family for us for a lot of years.
Yeah, I think the only person that I ever truly made speechless was probably Eric Lopez, because I think he is scared of blood and guts and gore. And when I walked up to him with Vegas just bleeding blood all over me, we looked like we had been through a war.
St. John's River.
Vegas took the metal tip of an umbrella right through his chin, for people that don't know, up into his mouth, towards his nose.
It was horrific.
He had a gaping hole in his chin.
It was horrific.
I'm holding him, and I remember Eric just looked at me, and he's like, what do you want me to do? And that's when I looked at him. I was like, okay. I was like, I need you to get an ambulance. He's like, an ambulance? I was like, clearly I'm not driving, so why don't you get an ambulance and the ladies will take care of the rest of it. And I'm telling you, every wife jumped in. They got you off the water. Yeah. They backed the boat down. They took Stella, everything else. But poor Eric. Oh, Elo. He looked like he'd seen a ghost when he looked at me.
The stuff that's happened over the years, there's so many amazing stories. It's great.
There are.
Good
there
and
are.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good and bad.
Tripp, do you get calls now? They're like, oh crap, Tripp, the wind's blowing from the east. The guys are complaining. What do we do? What do we do?
Yeah, that's a great question.
No, I talk to those two tournament guys all the time, and Gavs, Lisa, and I tell you what I do get. I get texts, like a guy texted me the other day, hey, I want to be a marshal in the Classic. I texted him back. I said, just so you know, I'm retired. You need to contact me. I get those kind of calls. So. I told him earlier, Dave, I said, I miss being around the team and all, but I sure was glad I wasn't in Florence, Alabama, trying to make the call on the weather and high water and all that stuff. So it's nice to be a couch potato and look at it on the internet and watch it like a junkie, like a tournament junkie.
I wouldn't have canceled that day. I don't know what they're doing over there at FAST these days.
He's throwing stones.
At the first event of the year, we were in fog delay. And me and Tripp were texting. I was still on the dock. And I actually announced it to the anglers because Tripp let me know, don't worry. On Lake Jordan, I'm in fog delay right now, enjoying a coffee. So enjoy yourselves at takeoff. So we were in fog delay while we were in fog delay. Oh, but I will say this, guys, and Tripp, you got to know this, because I'm telling you, and I told this story on live, but it blew me away. It was one of the things that really shows how special Tripp is. So we're in Palatka for, you know, to kick off the season. And I go down the elevator and I'm riding it with Craig Lamb. And it was the first day of the season. And it was the first day without Tripp Weldon. So the elevator doors open. And in this luxurious Hampton that we stay in, which I am in, I love the Hampton. I got mad Hampton points. But while we're in the Hampton, the doors open and there's nobody in the kitchen area, right? And Craig says how different this is than last year, because if you remember last year we had a bunch of delays in Palatka as well, but the entire kitchen was full. And Craig says, well, maybe that's because of the weather. And I said, no, it's not, it's because of one person. And it really was, it had nothing to do with the weather, because here's the difference: the year before we were dealing with weather, but Tripp was sitting in there. So every single time that elevator door opened, and every single one of us, no matter what department, whether it was an angler, whether it was media, no matter what person it was, we saw Tripp and we were like, we're okay to stay in here and have breakfast. because Tripp wasn't there, you know, everyone's like, well, we better get to the dock. And that's really the amazing thing about Tripp. Yeah. I mean, he is what your stereotypical amazing leader is. And that's what I will say about yeah. Tripp. You know, he led through example, I get emotional talking about Tripp, because it really is amazing. And he's a huge part of our team that I don't think ever will be replaced. You know what I mean? There'll be, just like the people that came before Tripp will never be replaced. They are an iconic part of the history of our sport.
Yeah.
And we're very lucky to have had them. And I'm lucky to have had spent the time that I've been lucky enough to spend with Tripp.
I'd agree. I'd agree with that. 100%. I'd agree with that. I can't thank you guys, both you guys, enough for coming on the show. And here's something I want to end this with, and this is from the bottom of the heart, and this is the truth. Both of you guys, Tripp and Dave, both of you guys, we talked about some iconic people in the sport. We talked about Ray Scott, Helen. We talked about all these amazing figures that changed the sport, that shaped the sport. Both you guys have done that already, and both you guys will be in the Fishing Hall of Fame. I promise you, because you're that important to the sport. I cannot thank you. Becky and I cannot thank you enough for the years we spent with Bass, being a part of that family. You know, it's our life. It's who we are. And I can't thank you guys enough for it. It just means so much to us. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Thank you. I look forward to seeing you guys down the road somewhere, maybe at the Classic.
I
hope so.
I totally agree with the Hall of Fame thing with Tripp, but let me just let Tripp, while we got this guy on the line, let's just throw it out there. Ike, I'm going to ask you the freaking question everyone wants to know. Yeah. Stop pussyfooting around. When are you coming back to the freaking Elite Series, dude? When do you want to come back? I mean, you were out there freaking trolling on every podcast.
What?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm all confused. I know your games. Tripp knows your games.
Get him, Dave.
What?
Anyway, I, one thing. I, answer this honestly.
Yes. Wait a minute. I'm retired like Tripp. Why did you didn't ask Tripp what he's doing
Dave,
the next
Dave
couple?
Dave loves this topic. I've seen you and Duncan talking about this, yeah. Dave. You guys love this topic.
Get him, Dave.
We don't talk about this topic, but we might talk about it every Wednesday. LG and the put a little hump back in your
there goes the plug. I like it. Let me tell it. You this. I will answer that. I will answer this. I won't answer it the way you want it answered, but I will answer it. I will answer it, Dave. And this is a great end to this.
Oh no! And here's yes. the part where. Oh, and oh.
Yeah, Carpenter, quick, cut it out. Cut it out. Add the static, quick. No, I will answer it. I will answer it. I think it's a great ending to this segment. I honestly am very uncertain about the next few years, but I will say this. If I end my tournament career somewhere officially, I would like to end my tournament career at Bass. I really, really would. And if I could write a book, if I could write a book right now in my life, I would love to compete and win again at the highest level at Bass before I officially retire. So I that's not a real answer, but it's sort of an answer that I might be back. One day. Maybe.
And he'll probably have 7 specials with big announcements before.
But Dave, don't worry, we got something big coming real soon.
We do. and we're gonna make
and use this discount code.
Yeah, we're gonna make an announcement about that announcement in the next like live show, so you gotta watch again.
next Sunday, maybe.
Next Sunday, maybe. Trip, Dave, I can't thank you guys enough for joining us. You are the best. You guys rock, and you're friends to us all. And thank you guys for being our friends all these years. Trip Weld and Dave Mercer, yes. Everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Love you.
Good luck to you guys. Dave.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, man. Dude, what? Isn't that great? Can you believe? I still can't even believe we got Trip on Ike Live.
I know.
I wanted Trip on Ike Live for like 10 years since the beginning of the show.
Yeah. I got to see a bit of it, and then I had to get the kids to bed, and then I kind of fell asleep putting the kids to bed. But I got to see
I forgot about just recalling that now that you said that I tried to get Trip on the show.
Yeah.
Back there was some controversy that had taken place, and I wanted Trip to come in and weigh in on that controversy, and it was just crickets.
Yeah, he didn't want to do it, and until
he retired.
Right, it makes sense though, Pete. Right, when you're engaged,
absolute sense. Yeah,
when you're engaged in it, right, it's almost it's borderline conflict of interest to come on and talk.
Oh, especially this.
I know, especially this mess. But
absolutely,
dude, how great was it, Beck? I know you heard most of the show, Pete. How great was it to hear the stories, to hear the passion? I said it to Trip. I looked at that camera and I said it. I didn't always agree with his decisions. There were days I was mad at Trip. There were days I was angry at the decisions he's made. But I never questioned his authority and how hard it was to take that job. That was a tough job. And I respect the hell out of him. I always will for being that tournament director.
Like
you know?
He literally was the principal of a high school.
He was the principal.
Yeah.
He was a sheriff.
That's a good analogy.
You're right. Yeah. You're right, Becky. That's a good analogy.
Like, but of a boys' school.
What was the principal at Triton? Do you remember his name? Dr. Capelli. Mr. Capelli.
Capelli was the main principal,
He was Capelli.
Yeah, and then Steinmetz. He was the...
Steinmetz. Stymie.
Stymie,
yeah. Didn't you make a song about that?
No. Mm-mm. Did we make a song about Stymie?
No, that was middle school.
Oh, middle school. Yeah. Who was the principal there?
Cook.
Spelled
C-O-C-H.
Yes, Cook.
Sounds like
Trip
Cook.
Trip was the principal.
Was Cook?
Yeah.
Allegedly. That's the lies they were teaching us in middle school.
Yeah.
I don't think
Trip was the principal. Trip was the principal of a very dysfunctional high school of all men wearing weird uniforms.
Yeah. Boats just don't burn gas.
He was. But he is, he'll always be an iconic part of the sport, you know, which is really cool. And he does belong in the Hall of Fame. I hope he gets
one of three.
Yeah.
50 years of bass, and he's one of three tournament directors.
One of three.
Yeah.
Not including the current.
Well, there is. I don't think they've named an official current.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
I don't believe.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay. That's cool.
Can you imagine sitting up?
I don't know anything.
Can you imagine sitting up sweating over those decisions? Like,
tough.
All right. You can have one hook, maybe two.
Yeah.
But only one blade, but it can't have multiple baits.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how do you sit up at night?
Tough.
Trying to solve those things,
tough.
You know.
Tough decisions. I mean, the disqualification portion of it and the penalty portion of it has got to be the toughest.
That's the toughest, especially when you're dealing with like situations of Sabine where there was off limits and he said
those rules are so gray and
you're getting
just a bunch of interwinding canals.
Super tough. I would never want to be him in any of those decisions. It was tough, man.
He just shucks it off like, there's a lot of sleepless nights. I'm like, my God, we should have asked him, are you in therapy? I mean,
whoever ends up as the tournament director next is the one who's going to end up with some serious therapy. Because let's be honest, like, I don't know, have the weather conditions gotten worse, or are we just more of like a cautious culture?
Yeah, we talked about it. We talked about it.
That's not a good question.
I didn't get to hear it. It's
a different culture.
It's a different culture.
Way different.
Yeah. So you can't, like, you can't make a mistake. Like, back in the day, you could make a mistake, but you meant well, and everyone would forgive you. Now you make a mistake.
Because stupid people have the loudest voices, smartest people.
And Tripp talked about that. Tripp talked about one of the hardest things for him was to jump in those chat rooms and have to see those comments.
Online
chat rooms. Luckily, he got to spend a lot of his 30 years without that, right? You know, social media is a relatively new vehicle. So, but it's hard, Brian. We talk about it all the time. It's hard. It's hard for me now. I see, you know, you go to your social media and see somebody say something bad or – it's hard. It's hard to stomach that.
Man, let's not even go this direction.
Yeah. Let's completely leave it.
I'm going down a dark rabbit hole in my head right now.
Yeah.
Let's go somewhere else.
And the other
What about canceling Pickwick? Do you think that tournament should have been canceled?
I don't. I didn't want to get into it. I still don't. And I did something I don't normally do is I chimed in on a few of the guys' posts.
Uh-oh.
I chimed in on Corey Johnson's post and Chad Morgenthaler's post. And I basically chimed in like I was sort of like saying it without saying it, that it shouldn't have been canceled. And, dude, people –
I don't pay attention for one
people
day.
People were attacking
comments.
Me.
Seriously?
People were attacking me for commenting on their post. Like, I don't give a shit. Fuck you. I don't give a shit. I don't tournament fish anymore.
Oh, gosh.
I don't care.
No. But that's –
I don't care.
But those people feel like it's their right to comment. But when Mike commented, then it wasn't okay?
No, it was not okay.
This is the part about social media.
Look, everybody's entitled
Everyone
to
Everyone is entitled to free but speech, some but you're not entitled to an opinion.
Some people – this is a fact. I hold this as a fact.
Yeah.
Some people should not be entitled to an opinion. They need to be a fucking test and say, you got to pass this test or you don't get an opinion.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people. We don't save a lot of problems.
We better change the subject
I'll change the subject and get back to the real question, Pete, which I'll throw back to you, which is, should that have been canceled? In my opinion, you have changed outcome. You've changed history by postponing it 2 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that they had high turbid water, that it was flowing in, flooding shit. Go deal with it. Let me see how these guys deal with it. Let me see. Was it really a safety issue? I don't think there was any safety issue.
Well, that's
was it really?
I'm ignorant to the circumstances that they were dealing with, right? I just have the general information that came to me. That, you know, that we had a lot of rain, the floodgates were piling. Now, you know, I think it's Florence, they launch, and when you come out of that harbor, you're in the tail race, basically, right?
Yeah.
So you're letting boats go in a very treacherous environment.
Boats are fishing up there in those treacherous conditions today, yesterday, and today.
That's the only unknown to me. But yeah. To me, as an angler, I absolutely want them to go. I don't know what to do when that happens. What do you do when the water comes up 7 feet? Right. You know, I want to see them solve that puzzle.
I want to see that
too. And where's the risk versus reward for, like, you know, like the entertainment value? Because, like, if, like, we truly want to grow the sport and, like, you know, get all these new eyes.
Look at NASCAR. They let them guys run, and there's
all this stuff. Like, I'm not saying that I want somebody to, I don't want guys to go out and rip their motor off on trees. But
it,
like,
sounds like what you're saying, Riz. Let them die.
No, not at all. I'm saying,
we used
but
to,
like,
fish on Erie where people lost their boat.
Yeah, so, like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but you're not allowed to lose your boat anymore because stupid people have an opinion on social media.
Somebody that's not a fan of fishing, that's a draw. Like, it's interesting.
Because apparently people are an endangered species, and, you know.
People.
We have to protect every one of them.
Protect people. We love people.
Right. I'd love to keep talking about
this. We actually do love people.
We do. We love people. We love people.
Too many of them.
let's use this, Pete, as a segue.
Yeah, to an unboxing.
To an unboxing.
Yes.
And this is why Mystery Tackle Box has stayed with us all these years.
They love people,
right here,
too.
Yes, they love people, and we love people. Let's use this as a segue to do an unboxing. And I mentioned it earlier in the show, but we love Brian Carpenter. We love. We love doing these elite boxes, and we've been doing them now the past 6 or 7 shows. And we're going to do a live unboxing. We're the only live podcast that does that. And this sound, Mr. Rebecca, you know I love it. Let me put the mic close to it. You ready? Wait.
You didn't even get it.
Hold on. I didn't get it. It's not sharp. Oh, there it goes. There it goes. You heard it. That's the snap of that tape breaking. And I love that about this. And we're going to get to see baits that we might not normally get on our own or see on our own. Latest techniques, latest baits right at your fingertips. Once a month to your door. This is a Mystery Tackle Box Elite. I'm going to grab one. Beck, you want to grab one?
I don't know why you have me grab. Like, why do you people have me grab one?
Because I want you to grab one. Dude, I know.
Dude, what?
Yes.
What?
That's right. That's why I grabbed it. Because it might not be going back in that box. You know what I'm saying?
Stop it. Let me look. You just talk about your stuff.
That's a good one.
What?
Let me get that. I know.
Just talk amongst yourselves.
Dude.
All I needed to see was the gold label.
Jeez Louise. This is crazy. I can't even believe that's in here, to be honest with you. This is unbelievable. All right, grab one.
All right.
We're going to pass it over to Riz.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, you got to taste
this.
Is that the good stuff? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to taste this.
Oh, we have something new?
Yeah, this is the.
Oh, it smells really good.
Yeah, this is the new tin cup.
What?
This is the 10-year. You're going to like this stuff. This is unbelievable. Here we go in our Mystery Tackle Box Elite unboxing. And Pete, I'm going to start. Brian DeCarpenter. I went for
– yes.
And this just tells you about the kind of stuff that's in an elite box. So if you're watching and you get
that's
the pro
sick.
Box right now and you're saying, man, I might step up, this is the deal. You ready for this? Here it goes. I have an evergreen –
what?
An evergreen
– yeah.
Jerkbait. This looks like a long bill model. This is the FA-115. I don't know what any of that means except evergreen – makes really good stuff. It's a Japanese brand. This looks like a nice deep diving jerkbait. It's in a shad pattern. It's got 3 hooks. I like this because,
dude,
listen to me, dude, when a jerkbait bite is on, I'm a Rapala shadow wrap shad fisherman. I love the Rapala shadow wrap. But when that jerkbait bite's on, sometimes it's good to have different brands on, right?
Man's got to have options.
Different sound. One dives a little deeper, one dives a little shallower. I like this, and I don't even know where they sell this bait. So mine's an evergreen jerkbait. Beck, what do you got? What did you pick out of your Mr. Tackle Box?
How about that whiskey, Beck?
Oh my God, the whiskey's so good.
Yeah, the whiskey's great.
It's amazing.
It's actually bourbon.
Yeah.
True.
The recipe qualifies as bourbon. Yeah.
10-year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But carry on.
Beck, what do you got?
Okay, here today. We have the Shimmer Shad.
Yes.
Actually, I have to be honest.
That looks pretty real.
It's pretty cool, and it has strobe strips. Basically, It's just like little reflector strips up inside the bait, which is kind of cool. Oh. I like that
it's
they call
a minnow. Them. It's a minnow bait, and they poured a piece of metal flashing in the middle of the bait, which is really
it's
cool.
It's kind of cool. But you know the one thing I appreciate about this box? On the back, they show you how to rig it, too. That's kind of nice. So, like, if you're, like, a more entry-level angler,
that is nice.
You got, like, how to rig as well.
I can't tell you how many times I read those packages when I got started in the sport. Because we had nothing, content to look at.
Yeah.
I read those things more than I read the back of a cereal box.
Wow. All right, Riz, what do you got?
I got a Lake Fork Trophy Lures Live Magic Shad.
Magic Shad. Ooh, classic.
Guess what I would be putting that on the back of.
Chatterbait.
Dude, this looks like my go-to trailer, but you know what's different? It's a little bit smaller.
Smaller.
That's the OG.
In that tail.
So let me call that one out real quick.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The Zaco was designed based off of this bait.
I believe this
Magic Shad's the one that everybody threw, and B-Height and all those guys threw this until they worked with Yamamoto design that other one. So that's the OG chatterbait.
I might have to look into these. And one thing I'm noticing, Mike, is the tail on this. It's forked. on the Zaco, it stays in line with the bait.
Yeah.
On this one, it's that way. What would the word be?
Horizontal.
Yeah, horizontal.
So one swims like a fish and one's a mammal.
Well, one's going to go like that. One's going to go up and down. I don't know. Maybe this would lift over cover a little bit more because it's got that
angle. And
here's
the thing about the Zaco. Everybody's throwing the Zaco, right? So a little change like that.
Tough bite. This is a little smaller.
Might make a big difference. Or even that. Look,
it's the first time I've had one of these in my hands.
Look at that thing on a chatterbait.
Yeah. At Mystery Tackle Box. See, look, guys, I throw a chatterbait all the time, and I haven't had one of these in my hands to look at before.
There you go. Perfect example of why MTB.
Whoever's winning this box is not getting anything.
They're not
in
getting
it.
Anything because we're keeping all this shit. I already hid the evergreen one. All right, Pete, what do you got? No, hell no. I ain't know. No, hell no. Pete, what do you got?
Man, you stole mine, Riz, because I was going with this.
Pete was going for the same thing.
I got the Live Magic Shad. I'm like, man, remember when we all used to throw these?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And this was the Lake Fork was the absolute deal.
Shout out to what else you got there?
Cool.
I got I was gonna go with the Guggen. It's a clickbait. That's funny. It's a good name. It's vibrating jig, but it's too much like the shutter bait from Terminator, so it's fired.
It's fired. Pete just fired one of our sponsors for us. You're fired. Fire.
So, I'm going with the Rattlebot, which is a lipless bait. It's a really crazy, realistic
crawl-looking
bait.
You got that, Bri?
It's that time.
I need my glasses. Done.
Yeah.
It's the water temperature was 44 degrees where I launched my boat today, so it was perfect.
You're launching the Northeast today?
I launched in the Susquehanna today.
In the Susquehanna? Right, 44.
Yeah.
Ooh, cold coming down that river.
It's warm. It's up from 40 degrees.
Huh.
It was 40 degrees just 7 days ago.
Remember that song?
Wow. She's warming up.
Mm-hmm.
This is rattling.
Ooh, it's a one knocker.
It's subtle, huh?
Yeah.
Huh.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Pete might have a different one than you have.
I feel like there's two knockers in there.
It's a dual knocker.
Did you say two knockers?
I prefer two knockers.
I prefer syrup. Bri, what do you got? You got anything in there that's is catching your fancy?
Pretty much everything you guys got.
Everything we already pulled.
That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And some big bite Senkos for Pete.
There you go.
Yes.
A lot of good stuff.
Yes.
That was
What's
a good
up that
box.
Jerk bait, dude? I'm going to see that.
No.
He's not sharing.
I ain't going to get it back. I'm put it right in my pocket.
Dirty bastard.
Thing's not leaving. Dude, what a show. What a show. Yeah. I'm telling you, this was a good one.
That was fun, man.
This is a good one. I'm from a personal standpoint, Pete, I'm so glad I got to talk the trip and say things that I didn't get to say a lot over the years, you know. So
I can see that, and it was emotional,
yeah.
You know, and I could hear it coming from you. and Tripp too, and Tripp definitely. I'm so happy that he's got an edge on his illness. That's such amazing news, and he's definitely relaxed. It seems in his retirement, and
it's good. He deserves it.
Yeah,
everyone deserves that in their retirement.
The amount of fish that guy's seen, like he could predict the fish to like the millihundredth. You hold one up from like 3 miles away, it'll be like 2¾.
Yeah, he doesn't need to use the Normark scale when he's fishing these derbies now. He's just like,
that would have been
a 2.78.
Yeah,
that would have been a great question. Can you do that, Tripp? Yeah. You know. But he is persistent. He's a great angler in his own right.
And he is.
A lot of people don't know that, but he crushes them on Lake Jordan and Lake Martin. And, you know, I was fortunate to come out ahead on that Lake Martin tournament. And
what were you catching?
He had won so many. I was flipping a mop jig, the predecessor to the mop jig before that was designed.
Justin
a
Kimball. Special?
A big giant jig and a Carolina rig.
Would you catch them off that stump out in the open
Carolina
water?
Carolina rig.
That was the Carolina rig.
How deep
they were
was
spot.
That stump?
They were in the 15-foot range.
Did the fish look like arches or did they look straight up and down?
No, that's back when sonar looked like pixels. So they were like
red.
They looked like Pac-Man.
It was paper graph.
They were red hummingbird pixelated blocks.
All right.
You know, they were spotted bass because Martin is full of spots.
Yeah.
And, you know, I caught him. I was talking with Tripp about that because he fishes Martin, wins there all the time. And Jordan is where he lives. He just this weekend had Lunker, a spot that was 4.8, which was the Lunker of the tournament, which is just a monster spot.
That's a big spot.
Imagine being a tournament director and weighing in Tripp Weldon's fish.
Wow, I know. That must be cool. That must be intimidating.
Yeah, seriously, like, oh, don't mess up.
Yeah. He's like, no, you're going to have to remeasure that. Courtesy check. That would have been a good question. I always wondered about that. Mike, have you ever asked for a reweigh of your fish, like
no,
when
but there,
the
there,
weight didn't come up right?
No. At MLF I did on the hand scale, but in the years of weighing at bass, there were times where I wish I would have.
Me too.
You know, like when I weighed them and I got back and I'd get in the truck with Beck and I'd be like, there's no effing way. They were only 18 pounds or they were only 14 pounds, you know. There were times where I wish I would have. But you get a lot of times you get on stage, you get caught up in the moment, you know. So you're weighing in, you're thinking about, you know, saying something about the sponsors or whatever, and you get caught up in it. But then you realize you're like, damn, there's no way I know I had more. You know, there are times I wish I would have called for a reweigh. You know.
But how many times too did you probably get a little extra?
May have been there are a lot of times where I weighed more than what I thought I had. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that weight, grab your bag, and get the hell off stage.
Run!
That didn't happen very often with Mike because he usually big eyes.
I big eye everything.
Oh, so if he actually weighed in more than what he told me he thought I had, I would be in the front row about falling over.
Yeah.
Like, oh, crap, we might make the cut. No way.
That's funny. So you like automatically, Becky, have to like deduct 2 pounds from whatever Mike tells you.
I do. I always do. Yeah. Whatever he tells me, I'm like,
big eye everything.
You gotta believe it's a big one every time you set the hook.
Take a bit off it.
Yeah.
Treat every fish like it's a big one. You'll be a better person for it. You know.
Yeah, but when you're in it and you're part of the process, it's. You tend to be very realistic about it. Like, it's one thing to be a fan at home watching and, you know, you're look at the Bass Track numbers and then you want to compare to the leaderboard. Because I find myself doing that now. I'm like, oh, well, they said they had this. Let's see what they really had. Like, I love playing that game. But when you're in it and you're part of the process of one of those people who has to actually weigh the fish to see if they're making it till tomorrow, it is way more stressful and you do not look at it the same way.
Yeah.
You know, there's
sure.
a different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting now with the way that the bass is set up when they have no marshals or camera guys in their boat. So bass is leaving it up to the angler to enter their own approximate weights. And I noticed over the last 2 days that a lot of guys just don't do it, right? And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't do it. Are you going to take time out of your limited 8-hour day to enter Bass Track weights on your own phone?
I would tell my husband not to.
I ain't doing that shit.
I hate it.
I wouldn't do it.
I mean, I get it for the fan, but I hated when they started entering weights because your day is shot. You spend the entire day staring at that stupid-ass screen waiting to see, did he catch another one? Did he catch another one? What does it weigh? It's so stressful. It's like a roller coaster where I like blissful ignorance. Let me wait till 3 o'clock where I see your face and I know if it's a happy face or a pissed-off face. And then I know what the rest of my evening is. But I don't want to wake up and look at it at 9 a.m. and be like, oh, it's a bad night.
And then on the other hand, I don't want to sit through a weigh-in and watch 150 guys thank their motor for not burning gas. I'm out, bro. I'm out.
Dude, I can't explain it. I have to watch the weigh-ins. Oh. I watch them now more than I ever have, and I love watching them. And it's crazy. It's like you watch them catch them. And you watch them. They'll pick up the Rapala scale, or they have those yellow scales, and they weigh them. And I get so mad when the guys weigh their fish and don't call out the weight, like live on camera. Like, just tell me how much I watched this whole time, and you can't tell me it's 3.1. You know, and you know. But I love it. They'll call the weight out, and then in my mind, I'm like, well, he says they're all 3-pounders, so that's 15 pounds, but they look bigger than that. Oh, got to watch Mercer weigh them in, you know?
Yeah.
And I got to sit there and I got to watch it, man. I don't know what's happened to me, but in the last couple of years, I'm like a junkie. I gotta watch the live. I got to watch the weigh-ins. I watch it all. Yeah. You know?
Did you guys scale your fish, or did you always just call it like tag them and beam them?
I never scaled my fish ever. I always just used a balance beam,
right?
You know, because the scales, a little bit of it is my history with scales because I'm an old guy. But the early scales, Pete, remember the early scales we used to use?
The waves would bounce you.
They were never accurate.
Yeah.
So I always was paranoid that I was misweighing fish.
Right. And gravity doesn't.
When gravity never lies, you know. But
you know what? The scale in my bathroom's wrong too, so I don't.
I concur with that.
Cancel scale is 2021.
Holla.
The balance beams do not lie. That's the beauty of it.
They do not.
The thing I learned about culling, Rich, is like you always have. You're usually most times you're culling between one and two fish, maybe three fish you have in your live well, maybe, because you always have one or two big ones. And you don't have to worry about them, you know, so you're just managing a couple fish and the balance beam never lies. But there's been a few times when I've come across the stage, and that's why I asked you a question. Like, I've come across the stage and I'm like, man, I've seen a million fish. I know I had 18 or 20 pounds.
Where if you have weighed those fish yourself on an accurate scale, you would know.
I would have been relaxed and said, you know, all right, they're within a pound. Yeah. That's fair,
right?
You know, and I would walk off not feeling like I got gypped.
That's a good call. I would say there's more. Would you say there's more guys now in the tournament scene using scales than not? I'd say there's more using them.
Yeah,
see it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I don't love scaling. Like I do use the scale, but like I won't scale all five. I'll scale like two or three,
right?
So that I can guess on the other two.
When we grew up, the scale was the thing you got to take the. Like this, and you go backwards.
Oh, the descaler?
Yeah, from the tail forward.
Put the bluegill on the board.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you had the cutting board that had the freaking jaws of life on
it. Oh, here's some big news real quick. Before we announce this winner here in a second, here's some big news, Brian DeCarpenter. I found this out at Blackwater. I had to take a trip to Blackwater Tackle last week, you remember?
Yeah.
Put you on the job, right?
Yes, and I found out that New Jersey is doing a special trout season regulation. Instead of they have the regular trout opening day, which is, let me get this right so I say this right,
April 15th.
No, that's Pennsylvania. New Jersey is, hold on, I'm going to give it to you. New Jersey is
April
10th is the official opening trout day of New Jersey, where you can go and fish for stock trout and keep them. But this year, because of COVID, you ready for this shit? They're opening up trout fishing on April 1st to catch and release fishing. April 1st.
Yeah, good luck.
Which is April Fool's Day.
You can't get me.
So, by default, no, this is true.
I'm out.
By default, on trout-stocked fisheries,
you can bass fish.
You can bass fish legally now, starting on April 1st. Think about what that means. Giant. Now you can go that giant trout swim bait.
Wait, how did you get to that?
Because if you're allowed to go fish for trout on April 1st, catch and release only, legally, you can fish that fishery on April 1st for anything.
Correct.
It's not closed anymore.
Oh, I see. Well,
this is big. If you're watching and you live in New Jersey, you want a chance to break the state record. Listen to me. Go to a trout stock lake that has some depth and throw a big trout colored swim bait. You have till the 15th. It cuts off April 15th. Bass cuts off. You have from April 1st to April 14th to catch a state record.
I hope everyone April 10th.
You yes. said April 10th is the official.
No, opening. April 15th, bass season closes.
For the spawn.
So he's saying you can get on to the trout.
Right. This is a very special year.
April 1st, which will cross
Pete,
over
this is
to
a
the
very
15th.
Special year. We got to get Robert Easley the fuck out of there. 1983, Manico Sampans. Get rid of this jerk off. He's been there too long.
I heard he cheated anyway.
Get rid of him.
Well, that was harsh.
Get rid of him.
No, we got to get him
out of here.
Poor guy held the record too long, so now Riz is throwing his name as mud.
I'm saying whoa, whoa.
I'm just telling you, let's set this up.
Did you whoa me?
You want a chance to catch a state record?
No, right. Them two.
All right, let's change the topic.
They might still be around.
We want to thank everybody that watched tonight. On Facebook, thank you very much for tuning in to the show on Facebook. It was an amazing show. We did the Ike Live like and share contest on Facebook to give away this amazing gift bag coming in at 21 pounds. Riz, give us a winner.
Off, that's 17.
Riz, give us a winner.
Yeah. We got Aaron Robinson tonight with the Facebook like and share winner for the amazing Ike Live gift
bag. Aaron Robinson!
Aaron,
winner tonight.
We apologize. Riz might ship it to you in a year.
Tuesday. I'm caught up.
Riz is the new dream killer. We got to make a dream killer with Riz's picture in the middle of it now.
I was thrown under the bus for so many years. I think I'm caught up now.
Yeah, you're ready. You're ready.
Hey, no, Aaron, you'll receive a BU gift pack. And the BU guy will get
the BU guy will get it.
Listen, dude, if you get anything, just be thankful.
Just be really, really excited.
You know the one thing you won't get is this evergreen jerkbait in my pocket. Nobody's getting that shit. Bridie Cooper, what do you
got? I want to thank Tin Cup Whiskey.
Oh my God, so
the
good.
10-year.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Tin Cup.
Stuff,
yeah, that was
dude,
really
that was
I want to say Tin Cup does a lot to support fishing.
They do.
So guys, support Tin Cup Whiskey.
Yes.
Get out there and get some of that.
Yeah, and it's great. The 10-year we got tonight was
They've got some things coming up that will be announced soon, but it's big. It's big for the community, for fishing, for the outdoors.
Yes.
They believe in it, and it's a good deal. And they also have a little thing going on with AFCO. So you can get some Tin Cup.
You can. Yeah.
AFCO gear on their website.
That's right. Go to the Tin Cup Whiskey website. Got great AFCO gear, and it is American-made whiskey, which is great. Also, shout-out to Founders tonight, Bri. We're drinking the Moon Ramblers. Riz has got a solid gold. Shout-out to Founders. Great beer tonight. Want to thank our guests here, Brian the Carpenter.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Dude, Pete, Riz, Brian the Carpenter, Becky, me. That great show. But the main guest tonight, Trip Weldon and Dave Mercer. Man, what a show. Thank you guys for coming on.
Mike, can I give a quick shout-out?
Yes, we'd love a shout-out, Pete.
I have a couple things.
Nope.
Bass University is having a 50-50 right now, 50 days free. $50 off an annual subscription.
Wow.
And it's very popular. It's our most popular deal, and it's live right now. So wow. Definitely go check that out. And I can't remember the other one that I wanted to oh, I remember now. I want to give a shout out to Kobe Krieger.
Oh,
yes.
Winning the Bassmasters right now.
Yeah.
And the Trailmaster trailer is what BTC is using on the Ike Live boat.
Wow. Yeah.
Which was at the Classic.
That's right. It's his family's company. Makes a dope trailer.
It's pretty dope.
That's killer dope. Trailer. Yep. And Kobe, we're pulling for you, buddy, man. Two more days. Good luck.
Two more days. There you have it. What a show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Brian,
I want to thank Sean McKee for tuning in. He said that was an okay show.
Oh, that's cool.
Shout out to you, Sean McKee.
Yeah. It's funny you said that, because I was just going to say, and I don't want to jinx it, but, dude, we continue.
Yes.
This is like 6-7 shows in a row now.
That are all okay.
Dude, they're all pretty good. Pete, you got to admit. Got to admit. We've had a great run here of really freaking good shows.
Yeah.
It's starting to scare me, because I know at some point we've got to fall off the cliff.
Oh, we were close.
Tonight, we're
we had a slow start. Oh, yeah.
Nothing in here.
That was
worked.
Good.
Yeah. Cool. That's awesome.
It was good. How long have we
I
been
the
doing
John
this?
Work.
How long? Beck, 6-7 years? What is it?
What?
Seven. Ike Live. Seven years.
Seven.
Oh, my gosh.
2014, bro.
Yeah. Speaking of that, seriously, on our guest list, Brian, we talked about this, on our hit list is to get Trent Cole back in studio.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
We're sort of waiting a little bit. We feel like it's a couple months away, you know, vaccines start getting out there and all that. But, dude, he was one of our first guests when we sucked.
Show three or four.
Oh, the studio just went down in just like a blazing flame of
Something happened.
Something happened.
And it cut.
Wow. Yeah.
And I did not know a damn thing. I still don't.
No.
I knew a lot less than. And I got it up and running again. I thought we were live. We did like another hour of show that only the people in the room saw.
So we definitely need to get Trent.
And it was the best part of the show.
Oh, yeah. We need to get Trent back in. Yeah. It'd be good, because it'd be like a flash. You know what I mean? It'd be like a full circle thing.
Look how far
Trent's
we've
great.
Come.
Yeah.
We still suck.
He's the best to talk to at turn. But he's always in such a good mood.
Oh, yeah. He's
so
fish
positive.
Head, too.
He just wants to talk about
fishing. Yeah, that one winter derby that me and Brian fished, we caught like two fish out from under his boat.
Yeah.
And he was so distraught.
Yeah.
He came up to us in the tournament. Ah, I knew I seen you catch those fish. How'd you catch those? I was, you know. And he was so distraught that we caught these fish from under his boat, you know.
And Trent's a big, big man.
Yeah, he's a big dude. You don't want to piss off
Trent. For those who don't know, he played outside linebacker? No.
Yeah.
Defensive end? He was an end.
That.
Yeah, for the Eagles.
I don't follow football that much.
Harsh Eagles football player.
Yeah, he's a bad dude. And he's a good guy. He's a
really good guy. Sack quarterbacks and stuff.
What a show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Thank you for spending your Sunday evening with us. Looking for another good one coming up, Bri, possibly next weekend.
Yes.
We're going to see. We got a great hit list of guests. We really do, if we can get these scheduled over the next couple weeks. So thank you for tuning in. What else you got? You got anything, Beck? You want to say hello to anybody or anything?
Please check out the Ike Foundation. We have so many things going on, but I'm so tired to really tell you about all of them. But here's the biggest thing I'm going to tell you.
I'll tell you
more later. Yeah. But right now, the scholarship is about to close. If you are a high school senior, or you know a high school senior that is going to college and you want money for college.
Money.
We want to give you money if you've done something in the outdoors that gives back to your community. Yeah. So please head over to the page and fill out. Our application is not that bad. If you got into college, our application's doable. Yeah. So please check it out.
If you can't figure it out, you don't deserve it.
That's right. You don't deserve the money anyway.
Sure.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, Riz, you got some?
Yeah, real quick. I met a fan of Ike Live and BU yesterday at the boat ramp at Anchor Marine. Mike from West Virginia, he's starting up he's on the West Virginia University fishing team. I heard a Riz from behind me at the ramp and got to meet somebody. So shout out to you, Mike. It was good meeting you, man.
Shout out to Mike. Yo, Chode.
Yo, Mike.
There you have it.
Mike. There's not a lot of mics out there.
Mike from West Virginia.
Mike
you know who you
from
are.
West Virginia. Just
we
narrowed
need more
it down.
Mics.
Oh, no, Westchester. Shout out to Tinker.
Westchester. To West Virginia. Westchester.
Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Mike. They're geographically completely fucking different places.
Let's
really
pour another tin cup,
wow.
please.
Get that tin cup. 10 years.
Another,
dude, in Westchester, you got a gat. In West Virginia, you got a banjo. They're completely different.
You don't have a gat in Westchester. Listen, that's anyways.
Funny. No, Westchester's nice.
Yes. What? But there's
no,
probably.
Chester's not nice.
Oh, Chester.
Westchester University.
Oh, yeah. Westchester.
Wait.
Not Chester.
Westchester's very nice. Yeah. And there's probably more mics in Westchester, Pennsylvania yeah. than there are mics in the state of West Virginia.
That's true. There are no mics.
Seriously, folks, get the 10-year. You'll know where
you'll
your money
lose
went.
Your
dude, it's hallucinogenic. It's got a worm in it. Feeling a little queasy.
Money well spent.
Okay.
All right, good night, everybody.
Bye. Run for your lives.
Good night, Pete.
Good night, guys.
Bassmasters Classic, the Super Bowl of professional bass angling, the 20th World Championship. And what a contrast today's classic is to classic number one 20 years ago. Two decades in which the pastime of bass angling has matured into one of the nation's most popular recreational activities.